That's all right. Some of you may have heard my name referred to by another David, David Kendrick. We've been singing next to each other for, I don't know, quite a few years now, David, haven't we, as second basses in the Middle Voice Praise Choir in Cheltenham, although I'm one of the men from the East. They talk about three of us who come from Lechlade and Fairford as being the three wise men. Well, three men from the East, I'm not too sure about how wise. But as you can tell from my accent, I'm Welsh. And my wife and I were teachers in Wales for, my word, well, I taught for 35 years. That was in the public sector. And my wife ended up being a primary head teacher, although we did meet in the staff room. It was a staff room romance many years ago. But there we are, a little bit of introduction, and it's lovely to be with you. I'm secretary of Lechlade Baptist Church. I don't know if you're over in Lechlade upon Thames, the highest point of the Thames, apparently, but we have a chapel there. We've just celebrated our bicentenary. It was founded by the founder of the Sunday School Society, William Fox, and we enjoyed looking back on his life just last year. I can't believe it's last year, but it was only a year ago. So much has happened in the meantime. It's good to be with you, and it's good to read the Word of God together. And I believe that Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 58 might be coming up on the screen there. I'm going to read it in the NIV version. I think I've got the NIV version. Maybe it'll be slightly different, but I'll read it from the screen. That would be the easiest thing. Excuse me. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And then Mary's song. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. I think that's as far as we need to read. It's a very interesting story. It's a beautiful story, but during the Advent season, we hear much of Mary and Joseph, the wise men, the shepherds, and so on and so forth. Herod, the star, the stable. But one person that is rarely referred to at this time is Elizabeth, the wife of the priest Zacharias. Elizabeth, I hope you will agree, is a character and has a character that is very, very worth pondering on this morning, because she was a remarkable woman of God. Luke's narrative quickly gives some key details about her. In verse 5 of that chapter, she was the wife of a Levite priest and of the tribe of Aaron, therefore a daughter of a priest. Verse 6 says that she with her husband was righteous, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And then in verse 7, we're given two vital pieces of information. She was well advanced in years, and some commentators say that she was in fact in her late 60s. But she was barren. She had been barren. And Luke goes on to tell the story of Zacharias being visited by the angel Gabriel during his service in the temple. And this is always amazing to me when I read it. Gabriel announces to him that Elizabeth will bear a son and that they will call his name John, the future John the Baptist. And Gabriel tells how John shall be great and filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, Elizabeth's womb. And Gabriel likens John's future ministry to that of one of the greatest prophets, Elijah. And Zachariah's questioning of this message causes Gabriel to render him mute. And that's what really takes my breath away. That here you have this dear priest, bless his heart, actually contradicting an archangel who stands in the presence of God and who tells him, I stand in the presence of God. You will be mute until this comes to pass. It's amazing, isn't it? How man can be so, well, not so much rebellious as just unbelieving or uncomprehending. But that was the situation. Eventually, Zacharias returns to his home in the hill country in Judah, in verse 39, and Elizabeth conceives and hides herself away, as was the custom. All of this was a prelude to the announcement to the Virgin Mary that she will have a son. Verse 26, it's interesting that the account of Gabriel visiting Mary is introduced with the words, now in the sixth month. And the sixth month was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, in verse 36. A clear sign that Elizabeth and Mary's experiences are interlinked. Gabriel comes to Mary as he had appeared to Zacharias. Gabriel prophesies that both children will bring great joy and gladness. Gabriel says that both children will be great. But there are obviously significant differences between the two. Verse 16, John will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Whereas in verses 32 and 33, Jesus will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. John is to be great, but his greatness cannot compare with that of Jesus. The beautiful thing about both of these annunciations is not only their glorious prophecies, but that Elizabeth is referred to in Gabriel's prophecy to Mary. The two women were linked by Gabriel and also by the amazing fact that they were both to give birth miraculously. In verse 39, we move this quickly on. In those days, the Greek says metaspoudes, with speed, eagerness, earnestness, haste. Various translated as with little delay by Phillips or a few days later in the NIV. It's clear that Mary felt that it was essential for her to be in Elizabeth's home. And that's beautiful. Here is Mary, a young girl who has just had a profound spiritual experience. The one who has spoken with her was the angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. He has made no mention of Zacharias, no mention of any other member of the family or the community, except Elizabeth. And Gabriel had referred to Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy and completed his message with the statement that nothing is impossible with God. It's perfectly understandable that Mary should choose to go to Elizabeth in these circumstances. They had a lot in common, so much in common. Elizabeth was Mary's kinswoman, and some translations say cousin, but the Greek is basically a relative, it's a sungenes. Elizabeth could have been a second cousin, an aunt, even perhaps a grandmother. We've been told in verse 6 that Elizabeth was a godly woman. More obviously, Mary trusted her. She trusted that she would be welcomed, and more than that, that they would have the opportunity to speak together at length about their unique experiences. And Mary was not disappointed. In verse 40, these two remarkable ladies meet. One a young girl, and the other a lady well advanced in years. But they were not alone. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, now moves as they meet. The baby within Elizabeth is sensitive to the voice of Mary and leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit speaks through her, and Elizabeth expresses the mind of God. Verse 42 says, Elizabeth is the first one to call Mary blessed. And what's more, Elizabeth here has the honor of being the first to bless the fruit of Mary's womb, Jesus himself. What a privilege. What a privilege to be chosen by God to be the first to bless the Holy Son of God even before he was born. I made my mother sing before I was born. My father was a miner, Welsh miner. He died in the mines when I was 4. My mother was pregnant with me in 1948. They married in 46. She'd been evacuated from Swansea with the blitzing of in February 41. And if she'd stayed, she would have been killed. And she moved up to the Romney Valley, and her father, who was born in 1871, my grandfather, he was 52 when my mother was born, he moved back home to the Romney Valley, and my mother hated it. She'd been very happy in Swansea, learning to be a shorthand typist, and now she was in this crack in the ground near Bargoed and Vochru and various other unpronounceable names. And she hated it. She was 17. But then, a couple of years later, going to the Welsh Tabernacle Baptist Church there in Derry, tiny little village, she met my father. But as I say, he died when I was 4. But before, when she went to the doctor and she knew that she was pregnant, she told me before she passed away just a number of years ago, I came out of the doctor's singing because I knew I was expecting. Isn't that lovely? And do you know what she was singing? She knew Messiah's back to front, Handel's Messiah. She was singing, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the young in his arms." It's very beautiful. Isn't it wonderful to sing when you know you're so happy and joyous, and particularly with a pregnancy? That's what it reminds me of. So a little personal story there. What a privilege to be able to bless the Holy Son of God even before he was born. And in verse 43, Elizabeth is amazed and wonders in deep humility why she should be so honored to receive the mother of her Lord into her home. She blesses Mary for having the faith to believe. It's a very beautiful word. You all remember Bishop Makarios from Nicosia in Cyprus? Well, Makarios means blessed. Not the same thing as happy. Happiness is very, very different from blessedness. And she blesses Mary for having faith to believe. And then with deep humility, it's at this point, it's in Elizabeth's home, that Mary speaks, or I don't know, in her heart sings the Magnificat. In verse 48, Mary echoes Elizabeth's blessing and extends them further. "All generations shall call me blessed." Here are two women, one young, one old, who are amazed at God's graciousness to them. And in verse 56, we read that Mary remains with Elizabeth for 3 months. Both women have experienced a wonderful combination of wonder, amazement, humility, and joy. We can be sure that Elizabeth would have continued to encourage Mary to believe what Gabriel had announced and to strengthen her in her faith. She, Elizabeth, had proof. She had her own proof that Gabriel's visit was not a dream. It was not a fantasy. So what can we learn from all of this? From Elizabeth's lifestyle and her close contact with Mary in particular? Well, first of all, of course, Elizabeth is representative of what God desires in every believer. Elizabeth desired to honor God. And now she had the privilege of sharing in the events leading up to the birth of Christ the Messiah. Believers, too, should always be seeking to honor God in our daily walk. We have the joy of sharing our lives with Christ every day through prayer, praise, the word, fellowship. As I said, I met my wife in the staff room. I teach French and Spanish. In fact, I got saved in Spain. And my wife taught biology. And we didn't fall in love straight away. Quite the contrary. I was an alpha male and she was an alpha female. And we were very strong-headed. She could cause 150 children to be quiet in one blow of her tongue. 5 classes of 30 lining up in the corridor, and she could tell them all to be quiet, one end of the maths corridor to the other, as she was on her way to the biology lab. And I was the other side of the school in the French department. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to actually recognize God working in the life of a woman. I think mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers have a huge role to play in our present society. Our daughter couldn't have children. And so our son-in-law and she adopted 2 beautiful girls, Alicia and Chelsea. Their parents were drug addicts, drug pushers, biological parents. They'd been watering down the milk in order to use the money in order to get drugs. And it was wonderful when Alicia and Chelsea came into our family, because we moved to Fairford in order to be close to the family. It was wonderful when they came into our family. And then 4 years later, our daughter fell pregnant. And so Hannah came along. Why Hannah? Why do you think we called her Hannah? Yes, because those of you who know the scripture, 1 Samuel. And can you guess what her middle name is? Joy. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't happen every time, but it does happen quite often. Isn't it wonderful when reality from scripture enters into one's own life because of the blessing, the grace of God, the gift of grace that God gives each one of us if we believe, if we reach out in faith. And I saw my wife, and we had a Christian union in the school. And I can vividly remember an evangelist came, and we went down onto the sports field, and 200 children were late for registration. And I can remember the head of maths coming for me. And I knew I was going to really get my ears peeled. And the one gentleman in the staff room who was senior to the head of maths was a maths lecturer from the university who was doing some supply. And as the head of maths walked towards me, and he was a big chap, a really big chap, about 20 stone of him, and I was about 25, 26 at that time, a spindly little thing. So this dear lecturer stood up and said, "Oh, Mr. Hopkins, I was hoping to come to your open air." And this gentleman, I call him a gentleman, span on his heel and walked the other way. And God did wonderful things there. Children got saved, and it was wonderful. And I heard my future wife praying every day as we had Christian union every day as children got saved. And we've prayed every day together at the beginning of every day for the last 42 and a half years married and even beforehand. And when our daughter could, she prayed with us. And now she has her daughters. It's a wonderful thing. The power of a woman's life in Christ being spread abroad by all means, but also lived out in the home. That's the first thing. That's the most important thing. Believers should always be seeking to honor God, to allow Christ to be himself in us, and for ourselves to be ourselves in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, for it to be a reality every day of your life, not to be ashamed. The French translation of "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ" is "Je ne rougis pas à l'évangile de Dieu." I do not blush at the gospel of Christ. We shouldn't blush at our belief. Let other people blush. Mark Twain said, man is the only creature who blushes. Man is the only creature who needs to blush. It's very interesting, isn't it? Mark Twain. Secondly, Elizabeth was living proof that God keeps his word. And we believers should be living proof of this in our daily walk as well. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Thirdly, trusting in the living God. Elizabeth shared Mary's joy. And we should share in the joy of others too. It's true that a joy shared is a joy doubled. Fourthly, Elizabeth's humility is an example to us all. She literally felt unworthy. She felt unworthy. It was the mother of her Lord who came into her home. Notice that those who walk close to God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, always have a very low opinion of their own worth. I can remember a dear lady and her husband, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, believe it or not, from Welshpool in Newtown. And Mrs. Jones was an extraordinary. She'd been touched by the Welsh revival in 1905. And her husband didn't want anything to do with the gospel at all. And her daughter was saved, and she was saved. And he was a shepherd, by the way. Her husband was a genuine shepherd. Knew all his sheep by name. And they had written a little note, "Pray for Dad." And they went off to a Bible study, and he found the note. And when they came back, he lost his temper. He was 56, and he lost his temper with them. Do you know, he couldn't get over it. He couldn't get over it. For 6 months, he was in anguish until he eventually gave his heart to the Lord. and I had the privilege of being at his funeral at the age of 84. The Lord, from 56 to 84, what a wonderful man of God. And it's quite extraordinary that it's never too late. It's never, ever too late. When I was in Spain many years ago, two ladies gave their hearts to the Lord at 88 and 89. They'd outlived five husbands between them. Okay, they were still working in the fields. This was in 1968, all right, when Franco was still alive, still had 7 years to go, and there were six different types of police. And because of Vatican II, Vatican Council II, from 62 to 66, John the 23rd had told Franco that he should allow a certain amount of freedom in Spain, and therefore those that weren't Catholics could come out of the background, so to speak. And we were in a tiny little basement. But you walked into that little basement, and there you could feel the power of God touching people's lives in the late 60s. And how the Lord really blessed in those. I learned a huge amount from those people because of their courage. And those two little ladies, Antonia and Dolores, they lived to be 102 and 103. They were baptized in the sea, and put a blanket around them, baptized them, take them out, take the blanket off. And boy, did they love the Lord. Lovely, beautiful, beautiful sisters. And getting tinier and tinier, but stronger and stronger. And you should have heard them pray. Should have heard them pray. It's amazing. Very, very beautiful to share the joy, to walk close to the Lord. And, you know, there's so many different things. John the Baptist himself was humble, wasn't he? How, when Jesus came to him to be baptized, John said, I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. And how he humbled himself. And it's the humble people that really speak to us. They have no strength in themselves, and yet they love the Lord Jesus, and we remember them, and we remember what they say. And fifthly, even though she had been barren, she had not become bitter. She had continued to obey God and walk in his ways faithfully. She hadn't become indignant that God had taken such a long time to answer her prayers. Not a bit of it, because she knew her scriptures. She knew God's ways are higher than our ways and past finding out. Isaiah 55 and Job 9. Both Mary and Elizabeth believed Gabriel. Both had faith. Both were ready to be blessed. And both of them now were expectant mothers. Sixthly, through that we learn that they who have faith are blessed. They are blessed who believe the word of God, and this has been delivered personally by Gabriel, for that word will not fail. And that has been proved time and time and time again. Those of us who have been blessed should encourage others to believe and receive a blessing for themselves. Not only that, but we should be joyful when others are blessed. You know, there is a word, it's a Greek word, anhedonia. You know, hedonists are people that just want to enjoy themselves all the time. An is the Greek word for something that is, like we say, unnatural and unnatural. Anhedonia. That's something suffered by someone who can't be happy for other people's happiness. Isn't that a dreadful thing? It leads to jealousy and all sorts of things. Isn't it wonderful when your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or great-grandson, great-granddaughter passes an exam, does well, wins a writing competition, writes an essay and gets a star, or comes home wearing the star, as Hannah has done, actually wearing it. You can put it on. And you're happy for them, not to be bitter. Not to be comparing things. You all know that comparisons are odious. And yet how easy it is, you know. But there we are. Elizabeth was a beautiful, beautiful character. What character, what integrity, and what love that she should be so joyful with others. When we perceive others being greatly blessed, there should be no envy or bitterness. And of course, in 1 Corinthians 13:4, agape love does not envy. Rather, it gives glory to God. So Elizabeth would have advised Mary. She was an outstanding spiritual mentor. And whether we are male or female, are we ready to advise those younger than us in spiritual matters? Would we be referred to by a third party as someone that a seeker after the truth of the gospel could go to and learn of spiritual truths and be taught the way of salvation to know Christ as their Savior? Are you ready for somebody to refer to you? and to say, well, Mrs. So-and-so, she's got a story. Go and have a word with her. And it isn't Mrs. So-and-so, it's you. And the person comes to you and says, I've heard that you've had a very interesting story. Could you tell me about it? What would you say? And finally, some questions to meditate on as we consider Elizabeth. Do we have a spiritual reputation? You know, it's the old thing that Billy Graham said. If you were going to be taken to court to be accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you? Are we humble? Are we hospitable? Are we loving with God's agape love? So Elizabeth is an interesting character, a lovely character to meditate upon at Christmas time. Her humility. The sole person referred to by Gabriel as he spoke to the Virgin Mary about the extraordinary events she was about to face. And Mary went to Elizabeth, and the two women were extraordinarily blessed in each other's company. Perhaps it's time that we took a fresh look at Elizabeth, who is so often overlooked in the Christmas story. And may the Lord bless you as you consider perhaps somebody that you may have overlooked, or an author that you may have overlooked, or a passage of scripture that you may have overlooked, haven't looked at for quite a time, because the Lord is always drawing out treasures for us. What we have to do is make sure that we are opening the book and that we are putting ourselves in a position, giving time. I know it's very, very busy. But trust me, my friends, teaching French to 25, 15-year-old boys last thing on a Friday for 2 years improves your prayer life. What are you going to do today, sir? And especially having an HMI sitting at the back of the classroom. Boy, does it improve your prayer life. I don't think my career, I don't think my life would have been possible in certain circumstances unless I had begun the day with prayer, and certainly prayer with Anne, my wife, as well. So she can't be here this morning. She's on the computer in our church there in Lechlade. But maybe she'll come one day. But the reality of faith in our lives, the reality of witness that is real, that is consistent, that is true, that is joyful, that is unashamed, because it's the truth. It transforms, utterly transforms people. We had one dear lady who came terribly depressed. She'd walked past our church for 40 years. And we have a cafe on a Saturday morning called Beans. And a number of people come in. We have a restaurant once a month as well. We're very similar to yourselves here. I think your premises are more or less the same size as ours. If you took that, put it at the back here. David knows, because we've had a few choir practices there. And it's very, very interesting how this dear, dear lady came to the cafe, then came to Christianity Explored, and said, I never understood the Bible, and this is extraordinary. I didn't know this building was even here. And now you've welcomed me in. She gave her heart to the Lord 2 years ago. And she was suffering from depression. And you know the program that depressed her more than any other program on TV or on the radio? Anybody guess? The news. The news. The news depressed her, you know. Well, actually, in my daughter and son-in-law's house, they never put the news on because it's just so frightening. It really is, and they talk to the girls. Alicia's 15, Chelsea's 13, and Hannah is 7. And we chat about it, and we have a roast lunch every Sunday, except today. I won't be there. They will be having the roast lunch. And it's wonderful just to be 400 yards away from your grandchildren. So the Lord is good. But it's very, very important. If you imagine how many years we have been in the Lord in this room, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years between us. And we all have a story to tell. And people will come to us, and they will sit with us, and they will be willing to listen as we pray and as we allow the Lord to move. May he bless you. Amen. Our final hymn is Behold Our God.